Former New York City chef James Beard Award finalist and Fort's Ferry farm founder Emma Hurst joins us to discuss her new book, Flavors from the Farm. We spoke with her as part of a Culinary Arts at SPAC event last month. Managing a 60-plus acre farm with over 250 varieties of vegetables, fruit, flowers, and herbs in the middle of the sprawling suburban neighborhoods of New York, Hurst is uniquely positioned to impart her wisdom to an ever-expanding base of home cooks looking to take charge of their food. Again, the name of the new book is Flavors from the Farm, and we welcome Emma Hurst to the roundtable this morning.
How are you?
Great. Well, first of all, welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for attending this event. It makes our team just thrilled to have you all here.
Who's the team? Point out the team.
This is my team, my gorgeous, amazing team right here. It's a portion of them, at least.
Okay.
So I have he's the true CEO of the company, my tiny CEO, my son, George, is the tiniest
person
in the room.
How are you?
He is about to be 7, but bosses us around daily. My husband, John, who heads up our agricultural program at the farm and is the farmer extraordinaire, and is the whole reason why we have a farm to begin with, who also has a culinary background. Dan Cotto, who helps us with project management and is our chief liaison officer at the farm and does many other things in the capital region. Matthew D'Ambrosio, who is the culinary operations manager at Fort's Ferry Farm and is our chef and has been with us since day one. He has done literally every single job on the farm and was at Sorella with me in New York City prior to moving upstate, where he has his two little babies.
Excellent.
My mom is here tonight.
Hello. Hi, Mom.
She's the entire reason we are in Albany. And next to her is my general manager of Fort's Ferry Farm, Shannon Baraclow. She is a jack of all trades, and she has moved to New York from Connecticut, and I could not exist without her. And last but not least, the person that I created this book with, this is our book baby, he is the photographer and my business partner and my brother-in-law of Fort's Ferry Farm. And without him, this book would not exist.
Excellent. And his name?
His name is James Barker.
James Barker. All right.
But he'll respond to Jamie.
James. Very nice. I don't know if this is an appropriate question or not, but on the menu it says Uncle Fredo's asparagus. Is Uncle Fredo here?
Uncle Fredo is not here. But he is amongst this world.
Oh, okay. He
he's not
he
dead.
Didn't pass on.
No,
oh, okay,
no, good. He's still alive.
Is he really your uncle?
He is. He's not my blood uncle, but he is somebody that was with my mom the day she birthed me, and he is in the San Francisco Santa Rosa area of California.
And likes asparagus.
He loves asparagus, and he more than asparagus, he loves wine and he loves brown butter.
Oh, that's good. That's a good combination. Excellent. It's a delight to have you here. Thank you for introducing us to your family and your crew. It's wonderful to know who they are and to meet them. The book is absolutely beautiful. It's stunning how it has come together. I'm curious as to you come in. You're here in this region. And of the first step, because you went to the Culinary Institute.
That was 3 lifetimes ago.
CIA.
I did, yes.
In Hyde Park, New York.
Yes.
And 3 lifetimes ago?
3, at least.
Okay.
I've had like 9. I'm like a cat.
And then then you went from there to New York.
I did, yes. I went directly to New York. I went to culinary school. So I'm from Menands. And I grew up just outside of downtown Albany. I went to Loudonville Elementary and Albany Academy. I always knew I wanted to be a chef from a very young age, and it was always the path that I pursued. And I went to culinary school in Hyde Park, as you stated, at the Culinary Institute of America, fresh out of high school.
Now, what did you learn there?
I will say that working in restaurants teaches you a lot more than going to school to learn how to work in them. But I did meet the best of friends and my husband and my former business partner at my New York City restaurants. I met the most magnificent group of people at culinary school.
So I don't know if I'm making this up or not, but it would seem to me at some point through that process, some point through even the process in New York City, that you start to understand what your interests are and bringing it to the book and bringing it to vegetables, bringing it to the farm, that this becomes what you want to explore in greater depth.
If somebody had asked me, so I opened my restaurant when I was 21, and if somebody had asked me if I would have a farm one day when I was 21, I would have said, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My dream was not to have a farm. My husband and my brother-in-law both come from the Midwest, and with them, they bring a lot of agricultural background. John's dream was, he also has a CIA grad and culinary background, and he was actually working at Cirilla with me as well. Yeah, he always wanted to have a farm, and I made a deal with him that if we were to have a farm, we would have to farm very cool products that we would, as chefs, want to buy.
Right. Now, okay, so I want to get to that in a second, but let me just explore this idea of the restaurant. It seems to me, in what I have read, what I have in doing this program with many chefs, that this is just a job, especially in New York, especially in big cities, that can just grind you up and spit you out, and it's just not, this is not a glamorous life. Was that the case for you, or did you come out of it unscathed?
Oh, God, no. I mean, I don't think anybody does. We're still in it. We're self-masochists.
yeah.
So when I opened at 21, we got a lot of success very early. We had a lot of failures very early. And by the
now,
time...
Give us a definition of a success. Give us a definition of a failure.
So about 4 months after I opened Cirilla, we got 4 stars in New York Magazine, and it kind of took off from there.
Great.
John actually was with me. We were the youngest competitors ever on Iron Chef way, way back in the day.
Nice.
And,
okay.
we got all the reviews, we got all the accolades. We got nominated for a James Beard Award. And, by the time we were both about 28-ish years old, we were completely burnt out, just kaputs. So we needed a major lifestyle change. But, and I'm speaking for both of us right now, but our greatest love affair has always been food. We love food, and we love feeding people and providing for others. And I think it's certainly my love language and how I love to show off and spread love and spread fun more than anything, which the world needs more than anything.
So define love language for me.
Yeah, so, I mean, so as food as we knew it in restaurants is very, like, certainly very intense, and it's it can be very taxing on you if you don't have, like, a very keen sense of work-life balance, and it's, the stories you read are real, Anthony Bourdain, like, all,
yeah.
It is very, very much that, and we didn't want to, I certainly for myself, like food is something I love so much, is something that it's something that I value a lot and something that I can't get too, it can like overcome me in a way that I get burnt out. So I needed to find a business model and grow a business that was more sustainable for me. So I found that through what we do now, which is farming and food and fun.
The farm, you bought the farm when?
So we acquired the farm and have been stewards of the land ever since 2015.
Okay. So almost 10 years.
Yes.
And through that time, when you realize that this is something that you want to do, then to make the next step that this can be something that you can monetize as far as a store, as a product line, was that always part of the plan, or did that... evolve.
We did not have one iota of what we were getting ourselves into when we started the farm. We just simply wanted to make a seed sprout, and we didn't even know how to do that. So we did a lot of YouTubing and kind of figured out how to, one, grow things, and two, you know, with soil amendments and all the science behind farming. There is so much that goes into farming and growing food that a lot of people in this country don't understand. And the people that are growing the food don't get, quite frankly, like the recognition that I think they deserve, which is why I dedicated my book to those people.
You do, yeah, absolutely. Why do you think that is the case? How do we get to that point?
America?
Well, I don't have that much time, but...
Neither do I.
I mean the point where we do not have as much of a respect, a firm respect for those who are responsible for our food, especially in the farming.
A lot of this country has, in my opinion, been very detached from where food comes from. A lot of people don't want to know that there is a head attached to their chicken breast that they're eating. And that the people growing their lettuce live in horrible conditions and are surrounded by constant sprays of horrible chemicals. So America, there's a lot of like a veil, in my opinion, over this country,
right.
Where in other countries you might see a little more transparency and realness. For example, in French cookery, it's very common to serve chicken with the feet still on and the head still attached and carve it tableside. And that would freak a lot of people in this country out.
Barry. with the vegetables that you're growing on the farm, what is it that you wanted to, did you know as you start out, as you say, make something sprout? And then once you start, you think, okay, this is what we're going to do with this land. How many acres, by the way?
So our entire property now that we've slowly acquired over time is about 100 acres, and it's in the heart of Latham. We are surrounded by thousands upon thousands of homes. And before we had acquired the property, it was about to get taken over by 200 tract homes. It's now one of the last remaining working farms in the Latham area, which has been swallowed up by box stores and commercial developments and detaching people further from what Latham truly was back in the day and all of Wolf Road and Colony, which was
right.
All farmland.
We're speaking to Emma Hurst as part of a Culinary Arts at SPAC event held last month in Saratoga Springs. Emma's new book is Flavors from the Farm.
Now, where roughly, and I should have asked you this earlier, but where is the farm? Like, what would be a landmark near it?
So if you know where the Target is in Latham.
And I don't mean people that come and case the joint. I'm
no.
just trying to get an idea.
But literally, if you do know where, there is a place called Latham Farms,
yes.
which couldn't be further from a farm.
Right.
And
well, you know what my mother used to
but
say.
But it's not too far from an actual farm, which is our farm.
Okay. All right.
So we are right off of exit 6 on the Northway.
So you go to you would go right as opposed to left.
And you go down Forts Ferry Road,
yep.
and you do pass the Target. It's a great Target. But you continue down Forts Ferry Road, which is a legendary farm road. And my grandmother had a farm there when she was a child and actually went to school with the previous owner of our farm on Mill Road and Forts Ferry Road.
What was their name?
Their name was the Wunderlichs.
Oh, wow. Now, so across the way from there, the other big tract of land is the airport.
It is. Yes, we are only 10 minutes away from the airport.
Yeah. So that's lovely. Now that's where my mother's family was from, and so when we would come up to visit, we would go and over the years we moved here. I was born in 67. We moved here in 85, and I mean now when I look at it 40 years later. The roads are just gone. I don't like the roads that used to be. They have a road called Sparrow Bush Road. That was not Sparrow Bush Road. I don't know. That's completely different than what it used to be.
Yeah.
And that's really scary of what happened to that whole region.
It is very scary. And while our mission has always been from day one to grow and create great food for our community, wherever that community may be, We certainly want our farm to serve as a preview into the past of what used to be and be an example of what is possible when you do continue to maintain and support small business and farming.
Do you have an idea of roughly how many different things you'll be growing in any given season?
On any given season, we grow between 250 to 350 varieties of produce, vegetables and fruits, herbs, flowers. We have an amazing floral operation.
Yep.
And we also have a commercial kitchen on our farm where we make fantastic foods that are literally, produce comes in from the field and we turn it into fantastic dishes and products like our pepper sauces and barbecue sauce and buffalo sauce. And we have an apiary operation. We have two rescue steers, Leaf and Buddha, on our property. They are our giant dogs. And we rescued them from two separate homes in the capital region. And they're best buddies. And we have a smattering of laying hens. And we actually just released an injured bald eagle that was found on our property by my son and my husband.
Wow.
And it was rehabilitated and released yesterday on the farm.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, that's great. When you mention those 250, I mean, that seems a lot, but it also seems, from what I know of farmers, and especially farmers like yourself, that will change as far as you're always trying something new. There's always
Absolutely.
An interest of what else you can do and what can change.
1,000,000%. I think experimentation, much like in the kitchen, is same in the field, and you always have to try something new. Margins in food and farming are very slim, so it's a constant juggling act of how to get this beast to work and operate. And find sustainability within the business model itself. So it's constant tinkering of practices, labor, what you're growing, varieties, pest management. There's a lot of factors that come into play, let alone things that are completely out of your control, like Mother Nature.
Right. When growing season comes, like, where are we now in the growing season? For you at the farm, what's going on right now at the farm?
So at the farm, we grow every single day of the damn year.
All right.
So right now, we have cleared out our greenhouses of all of our winter produce and are looking forward to early summer and most of all our tomatoes. So we grow in greenhouses, and we also grow outside on a plot that's predominantly no-till. And, so all of our tomatoes live in our greenhouses. So we clear during the winter, we
Yep.
grow in our greenhouses, and we do some indoor with lights for micro greens, herbs, shoots, and sprouts. And then come, March, we start clearing out that produce and selling it off at market. And we pop in our baby starts of pepper plants and tomatoes and things that are very fragile that, can't necessarily thrive in an outdoor environment without it being a huge hassle to us, which we have tried. And I will say that the more produce struggles, much like in life, the more a human struggles, the more flavor they have. And the more character they have, too. So we grow about 20 varieties of great heirloom peppers, which we turn into pepper sauces.
Right.
And we also have a smattering of anywhere from 12 to 20 varieties of heirloom tomatoes, which we are very well known for. And every year they are slightly different and spectacular, nonetheless.
So when you talk about the marketplace, selling it off at market, that is what for you? So if the produce that is grown can be purchased by who, by whom?
So we predominantly sell at our new retail location in Hudson, and we are also and have been at the Troy Farmers Market year-round. We have also been at the Del Mar Farmers Market, though we are not going to be there this year. And for the past 7.5 years, we had a retail operation on our farm in Latham.
So with the retail, is that okay? Do you sell to restaurants? Do you sell commercially?
Yes, we do sell to a smattering of restaurants in the Capital Region, Saratoga, and the Hudson Valley. But wholesale is not quite our focus.
Yeah. Now they come. I would think the way this would work would be much like when I was going through the book. You would come up with a recipe and you say, "Oh, you know, I wonder where I find this incredible vegetable," and this is where I would find it. I think that's a lot of the problem that many of us have in finding this amazing stuff and knowing where it is and where it can be sourced.
Absolutely, and that's why you got to go support local farms and your farmers markets, and that's where you're going to find the absolute best product, and your cooking is only as good as your products. It's not a whole lot of technique. As you'll see in this book, these recipes are very easy to execute. They all rely on very quality ingredients, from the salt by your stove, the herbs, utmost importance. Like, your cooking is nothing without fresh herbs.
I apologize for interrupting, but I want to ask about two essential ingredients that you write about at length in the book, and herbs that you just mentioned.
So big.
Eggs, fresh eggs. So give us a sense of the importance of that, because basically it's for the same reason, right?
Absolutely. So there are these mythical words that appear on egg cartons throughout the U.S. that say vegetarian raised. And what does that even mean? Chickens are baby dinosaurs. And baby dinosaurs like to eat not vegetarian. So they will eat themselves. The chickens are vicious. And they eat bugs, and they need a very nutrient-dense diet and diverse diet to be amazing. So eggs should be treated like
caviar. Oh, right,
like
we're talking about eggs.
Yes, eggs, exactly. So, you know, these products like truffles and Barolo wine and caviar, you know, they get all this, like, tout, but, like, And well deserved. I love me some Barolo and caviar and white truffles, don't get me wrong, but these very mundane ingredients that don't get the respect, that are just taken for granted, such as eggs, tomatoes.
Well, the herb you were mentioning.
The herbs, I mean, anything is like, this planet would be a shadow of what it is without these ingredients. Can you imagine a world without the tomato? Think of all of the fantastic products that have come from a tomato. Can you imagine a world void of eggs? I can't.
No. You make this point very early in the book, but this is not a vegetarian cookbook. This is not a vegan cookbook. There is meat in there. This is also, vegetables are the core of your business.
Absolutely. Vegetables are the core of our business, and I wanted this book to be very accessible to the home cook. And these are recipes that I make at home, and I've grown up making at home, and my mom has made it at home, and my uncle's made it at home, and my dad makes it at home, and my grandpa makes it at home. And they also put produce on a pedestal rather than having it be an afterthought to a roast.
Once again, Emma Hurst's new book is Flavors from the Farm. We spoke with her last month as part of a Culinary Arts at SPAC event. The events are presented in partnership with lead sponsor Franklin Square Market and produced by Kim Klopstock and Pam Abrams. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.